Good morning, everyone. My name is Adekunle Dalton Oke, Communications Head for the African Business Coalition for Health, ABC Health. And it is my pleasure to welcome you to another edition of the ABC Health podcast series. ABC Health is a private sector-led coalition of businesses, corporations, and philanthropies working together to improve health outcomes across Africa. Our podcast edition for today is titled The Role of Primary Healthcare in Pregnancy and Infant Health, Regional Viewpoints and Variances. It focuses on MNC issues in Africa, and joining us in this particular edition is Dr. Tinuola Akinbolagbe, the MD CEO of the Private Sector Health Alliance of Nigeria, PISHAN. And she will be speaking on the critical role the primary healthcare systems play in national health with focus on pregnant women and young children. Welcome, ma'am. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Adekunle. It's great to be here.
All right, ma'am. So just a quick one. I'm going to read Dr. Akinbolagbe's profile. All right. She heads the Private Sector Health Alliance of Nigeria, an organization which leverages the capabilities, assets, and resources of the private sector to drive improvements in Nigeria's health outcomes and achieve universal healthcare coverage. She is an experienced, highly collaborative team player with relevant board-level experience and a demonstrable track record in the health and allied sectors. A healthcare administrator with over two decades of experience spanning across clinical medicine and health services, health insurance, health ICT, health diagnostics, and the nonprofit sector. She holds a degree in medicine and surgery from the College of Medicine, University of Lagos, and is a postgraduate diploma and a master's holder in public health from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, University of London. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Tinuola Akinbolagbe, without much ado, let's get straight into this conversation. So, Dr. Akinbolagbe, just a few questions in this podcast for you to just, you know, share your insights and experiences with. And the first one is, health experts across the world have stated that primary healthcare systems can address the unique healthcare needs of pregnant women and newborns. How can Nigeria and Africa at large address challenges in delivering effective maternal and child health services through primary care, through the primary healthcare system?
Thank you. Nigeria, like many other African countries, struggles with unique challenges in the primary healthcare system. But the primary healthcare system emphasizes the cost-effectiveness. There's a cost-effective approach to delivering maternity and child healthcare services. There's been a lot of progress. Commendable efforts have been made in recent years in Nigeria by the NPHPDA, which is the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency, and the state equivalent in various states. However, there's still a lot more to be done to address the challenges that we have in delivering effective maternal and child healthcare services.
All right. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much, ma'am. That was excellently stated. You know, you did mention that. You talked about a bit about cost. And so one of the things that has happened is that out-of-pocket expenditure is a key challenge to accessing quality healthcare due to the high cost of healthcare. So, but then we also have reports of private sector through PISHAN partnering with government at national and sub-national levels to deliver improved primary healthcare through a scheme called the Adopt the Healthcare Facility Program, which you are driving. So, in your opinion, ma'am, how can primary healthcare systems be strengthened to provide comprehensive and continuous care for mothers and children at a good cost? And how does the involvement of the community health workers impact MNCH health outcomes?
Okay. So back to your first question, which I was in the process of completing. The way we can address challenges in delivering effective maternal and child health care services, the government and the private sector need to commit and be involved in the financing. So when the government and the private sector help to advance maternal, newborn, and child healthcare initiatives, they can contribute essential resources, not just money, but also various resources to support and ensure the success and the sustainability of programs aimed at improving the health outcomes of mothers and newborns. We can also improve health access through health insurance. As you mentioned, out-of-pocket spending is a major barrier, financial barrier. So with the provision of health insurance or with the enforcement of health insurance increasing the coverage, then you can improve coverage and enhance the overall well-being of mothers and the people in the community at the grassroots level, because there's a direct reduction in healthcare costs as they make upfront payments through health insurance. And then you have the risk sharing methodology of health insurance, thus enhancing equitable access to basic healthcare services. Also, we can integrate the maternal and child health services. There are many vertical programs which are sponsored by international agencies, NGOs, at different levels. So if these can be merged into the primary healthcare system, and also with the support of the Nigeria Health Insurance Authority, then we can ensure that maternal and child health services are seamless. You know, they're accessible, they're right where they need them, and there's a synergy involved in all these things, rather than duplicating costs or locating some of these programs in places where the need is not actually there. Also, of course, very important, policy advocacy and implementation. When we have effective policies and we couple these with advocacy efforts, then we can drive the implementation of comprehensive and sustainable healthcare programs, particularly maternal and newborn healthcare programs. And then we can implement and enforce the existing policies that we have, thus guaranteeing that the delivery of quality healthcare services is paramount. Now, speaking to your second question, which was how does the involvement of community health workers impact the MNCH health outcomes? It's a good question and one that a lot of governments have considered. I think firstly, by investing in infrastructure, when we invest in infrastructural components through the revitalization of primary healthcare centers, like we have done under the Adopt a Healthcare Facility Program, ADHFP, which PTAN is driving with the support of private sector players, then we can ensure that mothers and children receive comprehensive and continuous care, and we address the specific needs at each stage, at the stage of the pregnancy, at the stage of the delivery, at the stage of the newborn child and the needs that they have, and then as the child progresses all the way to teenagehood. This contributes to creating a supportive and very efficient healthcare system, and that would definitely improve health outcomes and promote good health. Also, we need to strengthen institutional capacity. A lot of primary healthcare centers do not have adequate facilities to actually and qualified personnel to actually take effective delivery or provide effective maternal, newborn, and child health service. So, if we can scale up the equipment, ensuring that they are well equipped and adequately staffed, because the staff needs to be properly trained and have the correct number of staff looking at the data, the population data in that area. So that would deliberately drive our efforts to achieve universal health coverage. Health workforce development, that's another key pillar. When we enhance the capacity of the human resources for health with regular training and professional development opportunities, it boosts their proficiency in providing care, maternal and child health care. So the community health workers, in summary, offer a very cost-effective approach because mm-hmm. they play a crucial role in responding to health crisis. They deliver everyday routine care, and they also help to establish linkages to the formal health system. So when you have trained community health workers, they are the face of the healthcare system. They are in the community. That trust is there, and people are happy to go to them to provide that care. so we can then increase the coverage and deliver essential care. And very importantly, health education and promote healthy behavior, you know, and then also take into consideration the cultural differences and variations in various aspects of the country, and then tailor the message appropriately so that it remains acceptable to the community that they seek to serve. And this will enhance the resilience of the entire health.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you, ma'am. That is actually very correct, because we've also had experiences in trying to, you know, engage the communities to have a better impact in health outcomes. And I totally agree with you on that. You mentioned the Adopt the Healthcare Facility Program. Can you talk about that a bit more? What is it about? What is it exactly? What is it supposed to do?
Okay, thank you for that. So the Adopt the Healthcare Facility Program, ADHFP for short, is an initiative which was started and launched by PCHAN in November 2022. And the objective is to deliver one global standard primary health care center in each of the 774 local governments of Nigeria, so that center serves as a gold standard and can provide comprehensive care. And so this endeavor is working with the private sector, with individuals, with foundations, and they adopt specific primary health care centers. And then we go out on the field and we upgrade these centers. It involves rehabilitation of the centers, building brand new centers if there are no existing ones in that location, providing power, providing portable water, providing manpower, human resources for health, which covers more than 50% of the cost of running a PhD, providing security, providing hospital equipment, furniture, medication, medical consumables, training and capacity building, and then governance structures and framework, working with the community. So we're doing all this under the aegis of the MPHCDA, the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency, which is the government agency, an agency of the Ministry of Health that is empowered with providing primary health care. And we work with their various alternatives at the state level, which is the State Primary Health Care Development Agency. So they provide, and they're primarily responsible for things like immunization. During the pandemic, we saw what it is that they have to do. And we're working under their umbrella, ensuring that we meet the minimum standards that they require, but going above that. We recorded quite a lot of progress. As of today, we have commitments of about 120 billion. We're working with the Aliko Dangote Foundation. We're working with the Zenith Bank. We're working with MTN Foundation. We're working with Kigari Foundation. We're working with the iDemocracy Foundation. We're working with quite a lot of people. And of course, the Herbert Wigley Foundation, that was one of the things that was very important to Dr. Wigley of blessed memory. Their foundation adopted 25 primary health care centers in River State. And we're working with the government to implement that. So it's run in phases. We have a phase one, which we're activating currently across all the states in Nigeria under the aegis of the MTN, What Can We Do Together initiative, and also with the foundations that I've mentioned, who have respectively adopted all the local governments in Kano State, in Edo State, the Jimovia Foundation, in Kano State, in Edo State, in Delta State, and in River State, and of course, in all the other states of the Federation under the MTN. So we have a website specifically for that, adhfp.org, and we also raise funds, generally crowdsource funds, to support this initiative. So the pilots were launched in Delta State and in Bauchi State in 2022, and we are looking to open an additional 14 to 20 centers this year so that we can, over the period of 5 years, meet our target of 774 PhDs of a world-class standard across Nigeria.
That is amazing work, ma'am. That sounds like a really great project. There is no doubt that Nigeria will really, really benefit from, you know, from what it is that Patient is doing. And I applaud you with all of my heart. I mean, it's huge. It's huge. But then I'm also aware that such a huge project would come with a particular set of challenges, particularly bearing in mind the kind of terrain in which we are working in Nigeria. So let me just ask, how do policies at national and sub-national levels, right, impact primary healthcare service delivery, with particular emphasis on how policies actually affect the integration and effectiveness of MNCH services within the primary healthcare system?
So policies are important because they influence resource allocation. So if you consider something a priority, then you would allocate more resources to that, and then you have a bigger asking to tackle that problem. So policies influence resource allocation. They also influence the workforce engagement. So your policy will determine if the healthcare workers that are being trained and are being posted to 15 PhDs have certain skill sets. So if we consider MMT a priority, then we ensure that the workforce that are engaged for those centers have those skills. Policies also influence things like health insurance, prepaid systems, like what we have with the NHIA. So a policy that recently went out, which was signed into law in late 2022, is that health insurance is now mandatory. If you're a citizen of Nigeria, either a private citizen, an entrepreneur, or you work within the formal sector or the informal sector, the law now says that you must have some form of health insurance. So that is a policy that is influencing health behavior. Also community participation. You find that in some communities, people are actively engaged. You have all these associations that, regardless of where the members of the community move to, they still have a very active kinship at the community level. Policies also influence things like the data management. We have the Freedom of Information Act. We have the data protection law that was recently enacted. Because when you look at it, health data is critical data. It's private data. It must be handled confidentially. There must be policies to determine who can use it, who can access it. And when that data is anonymized, it can help to drive future policies because it would then give you information, relevant information that can help to make informed decisions about future policies or future directions of where healthcare should be. The policies also influence the healthcare providers. If you have laws in place, certain healthcare providers must have a certain level of capital, you know, funds before they can set up certain types of either primary, secondary, or tertiary healthcare systems, what type of health workers can be there, what's the minimum qualification of the healthcare workers, what's the minimum standard, quality standard, to ensure that the quality assurance is there, what's in place for prosecution of people who don't meet the standards, what is the feedback mechanism. You know, these are all driven by policies. And so it's critical to have the right policies at the national level, which then translates to the local level, and they can help us to achieve the same improvement in MNC's outcome.
Well stated, ma'am. Well stated. You know, you did touch on something that just is going to lead me to a final question, you know, and I would also like for you to put up your closing statements with that question as well. You mentioned health workers. Now, currently in Nigeria, we have a phenomenon that has been named JAPA, where a lot of young people are, you know, leaving the shores of the country to look for a better life outside of the country. And according to reports, we know that the health system has been greatly affected with the migration of health workers. How has this affected the provision of services at primary healthcare level?
Thank you. That's a good question. So, well, we're starting to have what we also call jackmada, because people have left the shores of Nigeria and they've gone to other sites and they found out that things are not as easy as they appear. You know, your grass always gets greener from the other side. And so we have a lot of those people coming back. Nevertheless, we have suffered a significant depletion of healthcare, human resources for health. We suffered a depletion of course, medical doctors, nurses who form the backbone, you know, the nurses form the backbone of the healthcare system. And also, even medical laboratories, technologists, pharmacies, across all stages. So what we're doing, realistically, is we have to work on some type of, I'm looking for a good word to call it, like a transfer, you understand, a knowledge transfer, where you have upskilling of community health workers, trained community health workers, so that they can cover a lot more functions. An upskilling of, there will always be things that only a doctor can do, like major surgeries. But a lot of people do not require major surgeries. When you look at the vast proportion of the population, primary healthcare services, which are provided by nurses and community health workers, can be upskilled, they can be trained, knowledge transfer, capacity building, continuous capacity building, and then we can take advantage of some of the technological innovations. I mean, since the pandemic, we realized that there's quite a lot of things that can be done remotely. So the current administration, the Minister of Health, Coordinating Minister of Health and Welfare, Professor Pate, and the Minister of State for Health, Dr. Alausa, are working and utilizing a sector-wide approach, which means healthcare is not just left to the Ministry of Health. So the Ministry of Power is involved. The Ministry of Transportation is involved. Telecoms is involved. So if you have a good technological base, an ICT framework, then remotely you can do capacity building for the health workers that are on ground. Remotely, you can deliver telehealth services, a lot of which we saw during the pandemic. You can even utilize artificial intelligence so that when people have certain symptoms, the system can generate most likely diagnosis and suggest treatment. Of course, in the area of health education, health promotion, we can deploy technology to do that. So there's a lot that can be done. There's a lot that requires just some creativity and some innovation. Because even before we had the Jaffa syndrome of a lot of doctors and medical personnel leaving the country, we've also had the reluctance of medical personnel to go to the rural areas. Mm-hmm. You know, you had concentration in places like the major cities like Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt, but then nobody wants to go to my village, for instance, or their village and stay there. But if you provide an enabling environment where there's power, there's good roads, there's infrastructure, then there are incentives for people to go to those areas and to settle there, because using the broadband technology, they can have access to the world, both in the rural areas as they would in any city. So engaging the community, you know, because people, if you look at it, nobody wants to be a sojourner in another man's land. If the enabling environment is provided in your own country or in your own community, then there's no incentive that would make you leave to go somewhere else. So the government has started off on a good foot. The private sector also needs to be actively carried along. In most countries where you have successful health systems, the private sector, although very regulated, very heavily regulated, but the private sector actually provides the care. and the government, and then we can take the best of the private sector, which is efficiency, and bring the best of the government, which is regulation, access to markets, quality assurance, and then have a perfect collaboration of PPPs to improve the healthcare sector in Nigeria. I think that's my final word on that. Let's develop frameworks to make private and public sector collaboration seamless, collaborative, and use that to drive our objective of achieving UHC in Nigeria. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Akinbolagbe. Thank you. You really expanded our minds. And, you know, I'm certain that our listeners agree that this has been a real light shedding conversation. You know, yes, MNCH has a wide scope, but, you know, in the scheme of its place in healthcare, right, everything is interlinked. And I just love the way that you have spoken about how infrastructure, you know, power, ICT, you know, transportation just comes together to help deliver, you know, good health outcomes at the end of the day. Thank you so much, ma'am. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on board. We are grateful to have your knowledge to expand us. We are grateful. And I would like to, on behalf of the audience and the coalition, say a very big thank you to you. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much for having me at this event. It's been wonderful being here. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And thank you, everyone, for taking time to listen to our podcast. Please be on the lookout for more elaborate discussions via our social media handles as well as our website. This podcast will be hosted on Spotify, on SoundCloud, Podcastle, and on Listen Notes. So please feel free to go there and just take time to listen to everything that we put out so far. So until next time, please have a wonderful time ahead. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you, Dr. Akinbolagbe. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you, and God bless.